What's going on, geeks? You're listening to episode 397 of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. My name is Cody Armour. I'm here with LJ Lowry.
Yo.
And Shelley Nolan.
Hello.
And this week, we're geeking out about the state of the gaming industry, and then a lot of trailers. So many trailers. Possibly one of the best trailers. That's probably not true. And possibly one of the worst. And that could be true.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit. Remember, this is episode 397. We have three more weeks after this. And then the podcast is taking a hiatus, kind of changing in a lot of ways when it comes back. We do plan to bring it back. But it will be a while.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of keep that in mind. Moving forward. We had a holiday week last week. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we've gotten some things that we've gotten to play. LJ, how about you?
Yeah, so I've definitely played a few things. I was a little bit late on the train with Outlaws because it came out like right after I got back from vacation. So I was like, I didn't buy it right away. But I have played Star Wars Outlaws, and I like it. I think it's really solid. It's really good. I know there was some like mixed reactions about it. You know, like I don't really know. Like I don't know if it's necessarily like being bashed or anything. Like people are saying it's a bad game necessarily. I just think like there's just a lot of people that don't care for it, probably because I don't know. I would think like just because like when on the surface Outlaws doesn't look like that interesting. You have this random lead character, you know, that just doesn't seem anything like special about her or whatever. And you know, like it's like, oh, it's a game where you shoot things or whatever, you're climbing things again. But honestly, I really like what they're doing with it. You are a smuggler. If these people could have made a Han Solo game, yeah, they probably would have, but they, you know, did their own thing and created this original character that I think is pretty cool. You spend a lot of time, there's like four different planets you can eventually go to, but you spend a lot of time working for different factions and raising your level with those factions, whether it's poor or, you know, like, and then doing missions for other factions will like lower your rank with those. And so you can get into special areas, like if you're in good with like one of the factions. The shooting mechanics are great. It's got some interesting stealth stuff going on. I think it's a fun game. It's a really good quality game. Kay is a really cool character so far. I think she's very interesting. Nix is a highlight. Nix is this little, like, I don't know what he is.
He looks like an axolotl, but like a land axolotl, which is kind of
neat. So I was trying to figure out what he is, but that's definitely a great description. But he can do a lot of cool things for you. He can steal, like, so you can actually pickpocket with him, like, on the street. He can steal stuff from certain people. He can go, like, distract or attack enemies or, like, set explosives off. That mechanic is easily the highlight of the game, is having Nix with you. It's fun. Like, I really think, like, it's not, like, it's a really solid, well-crafted game. And it's just one of those things. It's like, I myself wasn't really sure how I was going to feel about it. I'm like, I don't really know what this is. Like, it just looks, you know, like something we've seen before. I was hoping it was like GTA Star Wars. It's not quite that. But it's very immersive in a lot of ways, I think. Definitely feels like there are some, like, notes of, like, a Rockstar-style, like, immersive experience with it. Like, they definitely, like, took some notes from, like, maybe, like, Red Dead or something. Mm-hmm. It feels a mix of a lot of things. Like, it feels a little bit Uncharted. You know, just, I think a mix of things is a great way to put it. But it's its own thing, and I think that's, they definitely took, like, a shot in the dark and kind of made their own thing, which I think is cool. People are probably going to be quick to judge it because it's not, like, a Jedi game, or it's not, you know, it's just...
You have a lot of Jedi games.
You're a struggling smuggler that's trying to find her way, into the big time and out of some sticky situations, and I think it's really cool. And then the other game that I got into, and by the way, both of these games are totally feeding my, like, I don't know, like, my vacation blues still, because it's like I just got back from both Universal and Disney, and
I'm just like,
these are totally feeding into those feelings I had of being there. And then so I'm playing Quidditch Champions, which has been really solid. Super fun game. And so I joked that this game was the reason that Broomstick League game got, like, cease and desisted. why they had to shut down, and I'd say that might be an accurate description. I don't know how long this game was in development, but it's super cool to play. You can play, I guess they are going to add 6v6 eventually, but you can do 3v3. You will, like, so you can control every role. I was wondering how this was going to work, because you can play chasers, and you can switch on the fly while you're in a game, too. So you can play as the chasers, a beater, or a keeper, and the seeker, obviously. I do gotta say, I like how they handled the snitch in this, because they didn't make it one of those things where, like in the movie, or in the Quidditch World Cup, once you get the snitch, like, there's pretty much no coming back. You've won the game. But this one, they downsized the points you get, so you only get 30 points from it, and it spawns
far more reasonable.
Yeah, and it spawns twice in one match. So you can definitely, like, if you have been destroyed, like, if you just have not been getting the snitch, you could still come back if you're really good at scoring and if you're really good at intercepting the Quaffle.
It's really interesting to change the games from, like, change the rules from, like, canon, you know, story.
I think to make the game fun, you had to, because otherwise there was just going to be no shot, like, at some point. Like, to even, like, come back. And so...
Mm-hmm.
I found it super interesting, and I think it's totally cool. For when you play as the Seeker, you have... They almost treat it kind of like Quidditch World Cup, but instead of staying on this trail, you have to fly through these rings. Just to, like, gain, like, power, or just to, like, gain the chance to catch it. Being a beater is kind of fun, because, and I guess I'm going to keep making references to Quidditch World Cup. You could launch... you could either launch, I think, the bludger at an enemy team, or you can beat it away with the push of a button in Quidditch World Cup. This one, you can actually have a bludger that flies around. You can summon it to come near you and, like, kind of control where it's going to go. Okay. But you can actually knock people out with the bludger, and most players have, like, a little life bar. And you can actually, if you hit them enough times, you can stun them, and it'll actually knock them out of the game for, like, a few seconds. So sometimes, like, when I'm playing, I've been playing with friends, so it's like, sometimes if I want to get ahead of my friends, if they're being a chaser, I'll go and grief the keeper for a minute and just keep trying to knock them out before before they can get there. And so, it's super fun though. You do get to start off at the house. So you start off playing with the Weasleys, as, like, the tutorial, then you can go play in Hogwarts. Then you have the Triwizard Cup, which is, you know, the three team, the three, you know, I guess schools from Goblet of Fire, and then you get the World Cup stuff. It's super neat. You can make your own team, you can customize every member of the team, and you can get upgrades and all that, cosmetics. They did say they are not going to add microtransactions in the game, so it's like a free. All the seasonal passes are free. All the currency you get can be earned in game, and I think that's a bold move. I think that's a really good move.
It's cool.
I'm curious to see how long that lasts, but it's fun. You do have to the thing I will say that's kind of bugged about the game right now. I don't know if they're gonna fix it, but if you're playing with friends, you do actually have to play through a cup single player to actually get the challenge progress, which is kind of dumb. So, like, me and my friends would play, and then I'd be like, oh, why didn't we unlock the Triwizard stuff? And I'm like, oh. So I don't know if that's a bug or not. So that was a bummer. But, so I'm definitely going to unlock it so we can... I need to unlock the World Cup stuff still so we can get back to it. But we've had a blast with the game. It has been super fun. It is free on PS Plus.
Yeah, I didn't know it was out yet. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so you can play offline and co-op. I don't know necessarily about, like, if there's a split-screen option. But you can do online co-op, or you can do, like, basically you can play against AI teams and go through the cups with, you know, with two other friends, or you can play PvP. I have not done much of the PvP just because I'm like, I'm having enough fun as it is with the single player stuff. And I don't know how well the PvP servers are doing. I think on launch day they did have some issues with the PvP stuff, but it's been fun even without playing PvP. Like, you don't necessarily have to play PvP. I will try it someday. The AI is pretty good, too. I was worried about the AI being so dumb, but there are literal times where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to let the AI try to catch the snitch, or I'm going to let the AI play keeper because I'm terrible sometimes, you know? So it's fun. I like it a lot. It is. I am tempted to get it on Steam Deck because I saw it is Steam verified. Steam Deck verified. But it is free on PS Plus right now if you have that. So I do recommend checking it out for Harry Potter fans.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it.
What about you, Shelley?
I went to PAX over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah,
which cool. was nice. Really fun. I actually, ironically, didn't play a ton of video games from it. I usually play a lot of different games and stuff, but I actually played a couple board games this time around. I sort of leaned more into the board game vibe, which was cool. So a couple highlights from that. Also, a lot of the games that I maybe would have wanted to play, just lines are too dang long. Like they had, what did they have? Capcom was there for their new Monster Hunter game, Wilds. And they're like Tekken tournaments, and there were a lot of things. My husband played some Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, I think. So there's a lot of options. But for some reason, I was kind of just like wanting to play some board games. So we played a demo of the Slay the Spire board game, which I've heard about. That's cool. I really like the video game, Slay the Spire. I think a lot of folks do. What's cool about the board game is that it's co-op. So, I mean, you can play it by yourself, as far as I'm aware, but you can also play it up to four with four people, which is really cool. And so that's kind of why I want to try it. So I, you know, sat down, my husband was there, and then we had two other people playing. And we just did one round of basically combat. And anyone who knows how Slay the Spire works, it's a deck builder type game. So there's just like different rounds of combat and you get cards and stuff, but again, there's like physical cards. I just thought like all the pieces were like so well made and unique, like the cards were well made, and they made it like super easy to like upgrade, because I even thought about when I first played Slay the Spire, because it is a deck builder, I was like, oh, I wonder if they could like make a board game with this or a card game with this. Oh, but like you have to upgrade cards. I don't really know how that would work, because you have to make physical changes to cards. Well, what they do is they like have it in these sleeves, and then when you want to upgrade a card, you actually take it out of the sleeve and you flip it over, and then it's the upgrade version. I'm like, whoa, that's smart. That's like very simple, but very effective. Hmm. And that was really fun. And I liked the idea that, you know, just like in the original game, you could kind of move whenever anyone can move. You just only have so much energy to spend that you can sort of cash out. And again, only so many cards you can play too. So if you basically have these enemies and you know what the enemies are going to do and you know which enemies are going to be attacking which character. And of course, there's different characters, right? Just the same characters that you can play as in Slay the Spire. But so you could say like, hey, you know, other player, I see this guy's going to attack you. Let's like come up with a strategy where we try to take that guy out first, or, you know, oh, this guy's going to do this. And if we kill him really fast, it'd be like super beneficial to us because otherwise he's going to get a buff the next turn or something like that. So it's allows for a lot of like communication and just kind of like planning, and really satisfying to be like, okay, well then I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and now it's dead. And then you get all the loot by the end. So we only got to play a short demo, but what's also really cool about PAX is for board games and for video games, a lot of times, especially for the more indie or, you know, smaller things out there, the devs, the creators, the artists, you know, if there's lots of artists in different like booths and so much stuff at PAX, but the creators are always like there. So the guy who made the game was like running us through it. So that was also really cool.
That's so cool.
And I probably would have bought a copy, but they were sold out. And I know they're quite expensive too, so I may in the future, but I won't yet. The other game that we played, just because there's also just a way to sit down and you can basically rent a game for free. You like hand them your ID and then you just have this game that you can play as long as you want. And it was even open till like midnight. We didn't stay that long, but you just play so many games. So if there's like games you see that are on sale, but like you won't try it first, you just like go probably get a loaner. So what we played is 5 Minute Marvel, which I think is a spinoff of 5 Minute Dungeon. I think that's the original. But we are curious about it because we were thinking, well, Flamecraft is one game that we kind of want to try because it looks really cute. But every time we look at it, it looks so overwhelming with all the pieces and all the components and the instructions. And we're like overwhelmed. And then we see something right next to it called...
My buddy has that game.
Yeah. It looks great.
They did say it's very daunting to learn, I think. They have not even like tried yet.
Yeah, which, like, it's kind of like Root. Root's the same way. And, like, we've spent the time to actually, like, learn that game. But Flamecraft is just rough. So when you see a game right next to it says 5 minute Marvel, you're like, whoa, 5 minutes? Ooh, this game only takes 5 minutes? Let's try it. I'll tell you what, it took longer because we were obsessed with it and kept playing. So the shtick of this game is that it's a card game that's really fast and chaotic, where you're trying to, the plot is, you know, you get to choose a superhero character, a Marvel character. So you could play like Spider-Man. I played Spider-Gwen. There's like Medusa, Squirrel Girl's there, Iron Man, Captain America. They all have different abilities, which represents themselves in like a unique deck of cards. There's like one big deck of cards that everybody shares, and it's also a co-op game. So you can play with, I think, one player, but up to like four, five, maybe more. It was just me and my husband, but we have like the main deck that we share, but then we also have like a little side deck that's unique to the character, which like has special abilities and powers. But there's like a stack of they're like door or just like enemy cards, and you like flip them out and they all have symbols on them. And basically what you need to do is provide the cards, play the cards that have those symbols. You want to get this right. So the idea is some characters, some villains, you need to place three jump cards or two punch cards or a shield card. Like, they just have different symbols on them. So you just need to play those cards. And then once you do, you get them out of the way, you go to the next one. And we are trying to get all the way to bottom to get to the boss, which usually just has like a lot of those different various cards, in 5 minutes. So it's simple. Okay. But it's very fast and chaotic. So the first time we ran through it, we didn't even use the timer because we're like, we don't play this game before. Let's just like kind of run through it. And then we're like, oh, is this really right? Because also there's not only is there a special deck that the characters have, they also have a special ability. So like Spider-Man, for example, has this ability where he can just... So Spider-Man, for example, has this ability where he could just get rid of one type of the villain called a goon. At least I think that. There's like goons. There's, I think, grunts. There's, then it kind of goes up. There's like super villain or like mastermind. And it just is the various difficulty level. And then every once in a while you run into a card that will sort of shake things up. And sometimes it'd be like, you need to trade cards with another player or something like that. So we were running through it the first time. We're like, okay, is this really, like, can we really just like spam our abilities like this? Like, there's some requirements. You need to usually discard three cards in order to use whatever ability you're trying to use. But we're like, this seems like kind of like broken. This seems kind of busted. So we play through it again with the 5 minute timer and we're like, oh shoot. Yes, this is how you play the game. Cause you need to go so fast. You almost don't even have time to talk. You kind of just need to go ba, 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 ba. And what's cool is that, so every round is 5 minutes. But you can play just one round if you want. You can just do a round and it's still really fun. But as you go through the rounds, there's different levels. So the first guy we fought, I think, was Green Goblin. And then it escalates. You know, we fight, remember we fought Loki, and then of course all the individual cards are also like villains too. And a lot of them are famous villains as well. So there's like the big bosses that you're trying to get to, which is, yeah, like, I think the last one was Thanos, by the way. The last one was Thanos. Mm. So there's, like, the big bosses, but there's also, like, quote-unquote smaller bosses, even though, like, within Marvel lore, they're definitely not smaller. Like, one of them was, like, Dormammu, for example. There's, like, Mysterio. There's a couple different ones, but also, like, you don't really have time to, like, sit down and look through the cards because you're trying so hard to get rid of them so quickly. Like, literally within seconds, you're trying to get rid of them. So you don't even get to look at, like, the art on the cards. But whenever I did take a second to, I was like, oh my gosh, it's this villain. Like, oh, this is cool. So, like, that was kind of fun, is because you got to kind of recognize everyone. So very fun, chaotic game. We also had someone who was, like, kind of watching us. And we're like, hey, you want to play with us for a round? And they're like, okay. So we were very easily able to just invite someone in just to play one round. And then they left after that. So that was really cool, is that it's super, like, flexible. You don't have to, like, start with the same people, or if someone needs, like, leave early, you don't even have to do all the rounds either. We just did because we enjoyed it that much. So if we had seen that game on sale, we would have gotten it, but we didn't. So Five-Man Marvel was fun. And I've heard it's better than the original, because I was like, yeah, isn't Five-Man Dungeon a game? Isn't that the... So I think that's the original, but the difference with Five-Man Dungeon is you don't have special abilities with the characters, which I think is pretty instrumental to the game. And also, I think 5-Minute Marvel is more fun just because, like, all the characters you, like, know. Like, these are all known characters and you're, like, kind of familiar with. Like, oh my gosh, Thanos. Like, yo, we're going to kill Thanos. Like, or defeat, you know, whatever. But that was cool. And then one more sort of, like, shout out. I didn't really get to play, but there was a booth from a group of folks called Deliverance Games. And I was confused at first because I thought it was Deliverance the Game, which is a board game. And Andrew Lowens is, he's even, I think, in one of our community groups at Geeks Under Grace. So he's like fairly well known, at least among the small niche community that is like Christian gaming and Christian game development.
Yeah.
He's pretty well known. I thought this was like his booth.
On our podcast channel somewhere.
That's true. Yeah. I thought this was him. It was not. This is a different group of people called Deliverance Games. So the difference being we have Deliverance the board game versus a company organization called Deliverance Games. And what was interesting and cool was that they don't actually have a game yet, but they have, they're like prototyping. So we got to sort of look at this prototype. They have this, these really cool ideas. And if it wasn't clear, this is also like a Christian dev studio. I don't know if I specified that, but this is, it's why I was drawn to them. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's talk to them. Make sort of a connection here. They have this cool board game idea that can have, you could do different types of games with it. They were saying like, because it's like very modular and very adaptive, where it's like you can change this like map and like the icons on the map and the dice even is modular, so you can like edit the dice to have certain symbols or to like if you like do something and it's like, oh, now you get a bonus to your dice. So it's all very like prototypey so far, but they were able to play like King of the Hill. They were able to play like a like getting two different like capture the flag situation where it's like you have like the little guy starting the corner and having to like go and like grab a flag and get back. So they don't have like a name for it yet, I don't think, but it's just like very, very bare bones, but they're trying to basically get some funding and trying to get some marketing going. And that's, so that's what they're at PAX, is they're actually just kind of like, trying to raise a little bit of money, doing like a raffle to give out, one of their like versions of the game, like one of their dev versions, which I think is pretty cool because I like the idea of a game that you could do different versions. Like, you could play different types of games with the same stuff. I think that's pretty neat, because why have, like, five different board games when you could just have one board game that could do everything? I think that's cool. I don't know if they could pull it off, but I think it's cool to see. So I definitely just kind of want to give them a plug since they were cool people. And they are fairly local. They're from Spokane, so on the other side of Washington State. So that was pretty neat. Their websites is going to be really hard to find. If you just type in Deliverance Games, you're not going to find it. But they have a link tree. So it's just like linktr.ee/Deliverance Games. And that's where they can, you can join their main list, their Instagram, YouTube. They have different stuff on there. I haven't looked like super closely at it, but I just kind of want to give them a shout out because they kind of just need some attention and they just kind of need like a bit of a step forward. So if you feel inclined to check them out, if you are interested, and what I was describing, I think it sounds pretty cool. And I think my hope is like they come back next year and then we can like talk to them again. They'll have something that's more playable. I think that'd be pretty neat. So, and also just cool to see like Christian representation at something like PAX, because that's not something you see at every PAX. And I've gone to PAXs. Guys, a little bit of aside, I didn't realize that I had been going to PAX for like 10 years now. But this year I realized that it's their 20th anniversary, 2024. And I'm like, oh, the first one I went to was the 10th anniversary, 2014. And I'm like, wait a second, that was 10 years ago. Oh my gosh. So that's just insane. Yeah. But those are the things at play. A little bit rambly. So I apologize for that. The rest will be shorter. But PAX was super fun. I bought a lot of merch. Probably too much, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. It's good. Cool. I've continued playing Ghost of Tsushima. It is so a Cody game. I love it so much. it's probably the best Assassin's Creed game I've ever played.
totally. It, yeah.
that's kind of accurate. Punishes you. It doesn't really punish you, but
story-wise discourages you from like.
It's like assassinating is bad, and I'm like, I have played so many Assassin's Creed games. Like the last game I played like this would have been Valhalla, and so, of course, I'm pressing square. What do you mean? Like I'm not going in there. really love it. So one of the cool things about that, for those who don't know about it, so it's all about the samurai code, and so assassinating someone is looked down upon, like Julie said, in the story. But the weather changes depending on how you play the game, and that's such a neat way, because I'm not getting like fully punished for like playing it the way that I'm playing, but there's just like there's more storms because I'm assassinating people left and right, and I think that's such a cool thing. Plus, I think it's really interesting, too, that the assassinations and stuff are kind of, like, what make you the Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah. And so, throughout the story so far, and I'm not very far into it, it's like, oh, you should be doing that. You're losing your code. And I'm like, it's literally in my name, actually.
It's like one of those things where it's like, it kind of discourages you, but kind of encourages you, because it's almost like you have to embrace it as part of the story. Kind of, it's like the story. Kind of, the story wants you to, in this sort of way.
His uncle, I think, in particular.
Yeah.
And he's more like, oh, like that's not our way. And then it's like, oh no, I'm fighting the Mongols. I'm using their tactics now.
So yeah.
The concept of it is like you have to if you want to survive.
It's kind of like it reminds me a bit of like Red Dead 2. Probably Red Dead 1. I just only really know Red Dead 2, where it's like the story can kind of encourage you to have Arthur's character be a certain way, but you don't have to do that. But the story can be super satisfying, and they kind of build it with one intention, but it doesn't. Yeah, again, you don't have to do that. I feel like it's somewhat similar with Ghost of Tsushima, where it's like it kind of is intended to have you do something, but then you don't have to.
Both characters do, I think, you know, they have their ways of doing things, but they do struggle. Like narratively, they do struggle with the things they are doing, you know? Like
exactly. Yeah. They're just like, oh, man, I keep doing this, but I should stop. But every time I come up on some situation, I end up you having to use it. It totally is. Arthur and, oh, my gosh.
Jin.
Yeah,
they're soul brothers. And, Yeah, they can relate.
they would definitely share a few drinks with each other, I think.
Yeah.
I have been playing it on Japanese with the subtitles, and I think that's the best way to play that.
There
are times where I kind of want, like, I wish they would do subtitles for the NPCs that are kind of running around.
Yeah.
I've heard that that can be really good, and I'm getting just, like, Japanese, you know. I just hear samurai every once in a while instead of getting really what they're all saying.
Yeah.
But he also feels very kind of like Batman in a way. I don't know why. Just like this dark, gritty, I don't know. He's like the samurai, but he's losing his way.
Yeah, I mean, as you go further into the game, he definitely becomes more feared, you know, as the ghost, you know, like.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I think that's what it is. It's kind of like someone, I think they're telling a story about him. And recounting it, and the spirit of vengeance is like the first thing that they say. And I was like, oh man, it's. I feel like I'm just like Batman hiding in the shadows, become this like local legend. And I'm really enjoying the game. The story is really well done. The Japanese voice acting, I haven't watched a lot in English. The Japanese voice acting has been really good. The writing is. Like, even writing where it doesn't need to be awesome. I've just did the Straw Hats, and that'll mean something to people. That have played it, and the dialogue between the Straw Hat and yourself is so good, hinting at, you know, this fall from the samurai code that he seems to be.
And like even the little side quests you come up on are like really cool too, I think.
So you'll have a main quest. And I don't know if I could have found it elsewise. I've never looked into like the mechanic of this, but I stumbled into a side quest with a main quest character, and ended up doing something for them. And
yeah, that's definitely a thing.
That was such a neat experience to just kind of like fall into this side thing, and kind of unprompted. Like I just got yelled at, like. Jin over here, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll go do the thing. Sure, wait, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I know you. But
the game does immersion really well. Like, you can literally pick a direction and go somewhere, and you'll find something that's happening on that map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's basically what I haven't done a lot of story, like, because I'm not very far into it, because I've just been taking over, you know, Mongol territories and taking them back. And
I still have not 100% of that game. There's still so much to do, and
I'm sure it would be a lot to 100%.
It's stacked.
Yeah, I think the hardest part was there's a point where they tell your uncle that you're following the way of the Mongol. You're doing some Mongol things, and he's like, "Oh, he would never do that," and I'm like, "Never."
My nephew would never, and you're like, uh-oh, I would. I am currently doing that thing.
Yeah.
I fell from grace real fast as soon as I got that assassinate, but I was like, this is how we're doing things from now on. but it is funny. I would compare it closely. I hadn't heard that like before, just how similar it is to Valhalla. Yeah. I think it came out before Valhalla, so that makes sense. But Assassin's Creed Valhalla and this game feel very close. That was the other thing that I wanted to mention, and then we can move on to the games, was unrelated to the Assassin's Creed thing. I really enjoy the stances, and I don't want to discount the amount of time and discipline that goes into like learning martial arts. But video games are supposed to kind of like quickly simulate experiences. And I don't know if anyone else has had this experience with it, but I love that I got stances, and I would have to like get away from the fight, and I would change my stance, and then I would walk back into the fight, and I would use that stance on what I needed, and it was this very slow thing that I would have to like really cognitively do. And now when I'm fighting, I can, like, I've gotten so good at it that I can flip through the stances as I'm fighting.
Yeah,
that game does have a lot of buttons to push. Because you have a lot of extra tools and everything and different ammo types of things.
So much you can do in it.
There are a lot of things to manage on the shoulder buttons and the face and D-pad buttons, too. So
but
it's
it
like,
kind of like simulated in a way, like learning because, a martial art and like
mastering a skill. It becomes second nature at some point because you're like,
transition becomes more fluid.
Yes, these are on this shoulder button, so I know where this is at. So you get comfortable with using those buttons and those tools.
Like, obviously, learning an actual martial art would take way more, but same with, like, you know, driving simulators and stuff.
That is a cool connection, though. Like,
but totally. I was like, oh, you would take time, and so it would be this really awkward thing that you would do when you're learning in real life, and then the faster, you know, the more you did it, the faster, quicker
you'd get it. It's like, I think of, like, when I play the Spider-Man games or something, especially after I played so much of the first one, I could literally play that game without being touched. You know, like, it's just it's just one of those things.
The character himself, too, kind of looks like he's learning. He's slowly mastering these skills.
Oh, yeah.
As he's like, I'm, you know, backing away from all of them and like, hold on, let me get my sword, you know, the way that I want it. And now I'm able to just kind of like swing through them. It was just a really cool thing that I noticed. And I don't know if that was intentional of them or not. I don't know if anyone else got that sense from it. But to me, it was like, wow, he learned. And then, like, because of the way that you play the play mechanics, you also feel like he's slowly learning those skills as you learn them.
Love that.
Great game. It's on PS Plus because it's, you know, super old now. Not super old, but it's older. but I'm loving it. I've probably been playing it for a while.
It's on PC for the Master Race folks too.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Get those mods going.
Oh.
You can fight a Mongol Thomas the Train. Probably. I'm so curious now. Okay, let me get into the gaming news. What's going on, LJ?
Yeah, so not necessarily huge stuff, but definitely important stuff. I'll get the first thing out of the way just because I've been enjoying Quidditch, and there was a lot of connections because I played Hogwarts Legacy. I got a lot of like stuff from Hogwarts Legacy and like connecting my account. But lead people at Warner Brothers and WB Games have said that a Hogwarts Legacy sequel is top priority, which I think it makes sense because Hogwarts Legacy was one of the top selling games of 2023. And, you know, like despite, and I'm going to say this, despite the whole J.K. Rowling thing,
right?
People have played it and enjoyed it despite that, because the devs have said, like, oh, like this, you know, Like, she has no association with you know, our creative process and things like
that. Right, yeah.
It's like, sure, yes, she's making royalties probably on it because it is her property. Like, of course, you know. So, but I liked it. I think it's really good. Just as I have been going through Harry Potter stuff, though, the more and more I've been going through this stuff again, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of problematic stuff in here.
Oh, totally. But
so
my heart.
Yeah, but I would say like it is it the Hogwarts Legacy was a really good game, especially as like. I would consider myself a lapsed Harry Potter fan because it got to be one of those things where I dropped off of it as I got older in like middle school and high school, so I missed like the back half of the movies and the books and all that. But I enjoy the game and I'd be down for a sequel. I don't necessarily remember if it sets up a sequel, but it's not like it takes place in this large time span. So
yeah, I just feel like the only like the main worry I have. Mm-hmm. Is because as far as I'm aware, I actually own the game, but I haven't started it yet. In fact, mm-hmm. I kind of want to... If there weren't so many big fall releases, I would maybe make it a fall game. Because that's just, like, so I associate, like, Harry Potter with, like, fall, winter. But either way, whatever.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, it takes place at Hogwarts.
Yep.
Like, generally speaking. Maybe you go a little bit outside of it, but generally speaking, it takes place at Hogwarts. You can kind of explore Hogwarts all around. You can go to classes, you can learn stuff, and there's also a plot. Right? Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, my worry is that it's going to have a Tears of the Kingdom effect, which granted, I know it's, people love Tears of the Kingdom, but I could really never get fully past the fact that it's a new $70 game that is much expanded, however, still uses the same map as the first game. It was like, oh, I'm rediscovering things, but I've already done this before, and granted, I wasn't a huge fan of the Depths, so I know for folks who really like the Depths, like, that's, you know, that was enough for them, and the sky stuff, there just wasn't a lot of stuff in the sky, so I did enjoy Tears of the Kingdom overall, but I just really couldn't get past that feeling of, why am I paying so much money for what doesn't feel like that much bigger of, like, you know, people kept saying, like, oh, it's just, it's like a big deal, it's $70 DLC, that's what people kept saying. Mm-hmm. I was never, like, that far of a believer in that, but I definitely like saw that. I was just like, yeah, it's a little bit weird. So I kind of feel like I don't know how they're going to avoid that for Hogwarts Legacy 2 if they make a second one,
right,
because it's also just going to be a Hogwarts. You're also just going to be taking classes, and I'm sure they're going to expand a lot. But at the end of the day, I think one of the reasons people get Hogwarts Legacy is so you can like finally have that sort of classic RPG experience of being a student at Hogwarts, and like now you have a story and you can like get skills and you can like do stuff. And Hogwarts Legacy like totally just has that unlock as far as I'm aware. So what would a sequel offer? What would it do?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't really know, you know, because there's... Like, open world games and sequels are rough, but you kind of have to change the map. So, like, Horizon, you know, has, like, a whole big map and a whole story and a whole thing. Forbidden West is totally elsewhere. It's totally different. It's, like, that's part of what makes it, like, people are able to play it is because, oh, we're totally expanding not only the lore and the story and the character development, but, like, physically a new map and, like, different combat stuff and different, you know, monsters or, sorry, robots, really. It's more robots. Mm-hmm. But I just, it makes me a little bit worried because you can't not have Hogwarts in a game called Hogwarts Legacy.
Right.
But what are you going to do to make it really justifiable as a sequel? That's why I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm curious about. Makes sense they want to do it. It made so much money, but I don't know. It's kind of weird.
They've laid a good groundwork, I would say. Like, if there's improvements they want to make, I think there's plenty they could.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Just have to see. I mean,
there's plenty of things they could do to make that, you know, more immersive. So a sequel is coming. There's, like I said, there are some things they could add and probably do. I think of, like, Shadow of War or Shadow of Mordor, how it's like,
yeah,
oh, I don't know really how you're going to make a sequel to that or expand on that.
True. But
they included that mechanic that almost made, like, the, you know, that army building mechanic.
The nemesis system kind of thing. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, I don't know what they would, again, I don't know what they would do for Hogwarts, but, I mean, heck, they could do that. Like, I mean, I don't know. They could definitely expand on, like, maybe the way you interact with your house or if it, see, I don't even know if it is going to be a new student.
Right.
The same character you were before.
Maybe so the next year. I don't know how long it takes place, but you're right. There's opportunities. You're right. There's ideas, year, but we'll see.
But yeah. So I'm interested. I'm down for it. And I think people should give it a chance, even around the controversy though. That's my opinion. Yeah. And then the kind of in wild news, Concord, the hero shooter from Sony, lasted about 12 days. which sucks.
Yeah.
I was one of the people that, like, I'm like, oh, this does not look interesting. But until I played the beta, they opened up the beta for a lot more people, after like the pre-order stuff. And I enjoyed it. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Like, maybe if I have the extra funds, maybe I'll check it out one day, but it's going to be hard to because there's so much coming out. And I believe, and so basically what happened is after a certain amount of days, they just said, hey, we're taking Concord offline. You can get a refund. Even if you bought a retail physical copy, you know, like we are permitting refunds of all kinds, basically. Because the player count was super low, like really, really, really low.
It was
in the hundreds,
like less than the number of people who worked on the game.
Probably. Yeah. And so I equate it to this, you know, back when Overwatch came out, I think people paid $40 to $50 for that game. But the landscape has changed since then. Where we would have bought Battleborn or Overwatch at the time, which were both competing, we would have bought a physical copy of that, or, you know, we would have paid the price for that. This was kind of before Fortnite and other free-to-play games started doing battle passes and seasonal content. So I'm sure a lot of people looked at that and were like, oh, I'm not paying $40 for that. Like, you know, why isn't it free-to-play? And I think Concord did that thing where they did boast, like, hey, no, we're not going to do microtransactions. I don't know what the initial content was like when it came out, because, again, I had just gotten back from vacation, so I was like, there's no way I'm going to even play that game. And I was definitely going to wait and see. I was on the wait-and-see approach. So I think because of the market and the way the industry is right now with all these games of service stuff, it took 8 years for them to develop it, so it's like to develop it, and so it's like a little too late now. But yeah, you're expecting people are looking at that price tag and they're like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just gonna go play this thing that I'm already playing that does the same thing.
Yeah.
Or even in December, Marvel Rivals is coming out.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, why am I gonna pay $40 for that thing when I could easily go play Overwatch or go play Paladins or whatever else is out there right now?
Plus, I don't know how many people knew about it. Like, I didn't know it was a thing until after I saw the news that it closed.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the thing. I had another friend that was like, wait, what? What is this game? And honestly, it did look generic. It really did. I'm just like, oh, it's this Guardians of the Galaxy aesthetic, which I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds neat. I really didn't care until I actually played the game, and I'm like, oh, these are former Destiny devs. It feels like it plays like Destiny. Some of these characters are actually kind of cool. Like, and like, they, you know, the character designs, some of them are kind of like strange looking, but I'm like, oh, okay. Like, the fact that I'm connecting with this character on how they play is really cool, because otherwise I really wouldn't care. And that's
a Destiny hero shooter, by the way, would probably be pretty fun.
I mean, yeah, like in you know, it's like you had abilities in Destiny anyway that were basically like hero shooter abilities.
That could be really cool.
Switched to my Destiny style controls, because anytime I played Destiny, I had this like bumper jumper style control system that really like felt good, and I switched to that in Concord, and I'm like, oh, this feels like I'm playing Destiny again. So really, I think especially like the marketing itself, and just it probably did not deliver, I think, for the most part. There's a lot of big games I can't think of them really off the top of my head, but like whether they were even out yet. Like, we're in fall season, we're in when the big releases are coming out, so it's like people are waiting for stuff like Astrobot, which just came out, Star Wars was just coming out, Space Marine just came out. Like, there's so much that it's like, oh, like, we don't really, like, it's definitely gonna fall, it fell through the cracks big time. And like I said, I don't know what happened when the game actually launched. I didn't play it at launch, but I enjoyed it. And so it just does kind of suck to see, like, oh.
Yeah.
That's sad, because I would have put, like, if they did go free-to-play, like, let's say they did go free-to-play and use that model, I would have been like, all right, cool. Like, you just should have done that in the first place. Refund people their money or give them a crap ton of content.
Yeah.
You know, one of the two. Yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, like, that sucks that it got shut down, because, like, I never really got to, and maybe that's a lot of people's situation. Maybe nobody ever got to give it the time of day.
Yeah. Because
they shut it down so fast.
It's like people are so, and maybe, especially for those types of games, maybe it really is that important. But I feel like a lot of game studios are so obsessed with like opening numbers. And yes. It's almost like a movie. It's like, oh, is the box office good on like, you know, opening weekend or is it not? Launch because day, I know,
first week, yeah.
I mean, heck, I even remember Square Enix or the devs behind Final Fantasy 16 being like somewhat disappointed in the numbers behind that when it first came out. And I'm like, this is an incredibly successful game by so many other means, but they were still just like there's kind of
a game like that too. I can't remember what it
they
was.
Kinda, yeah, they kind of thought they would get more money. And I'm just like, they need to stop paying attention to that. Yeah. But I think the crux of the issue is that they just spend way too much freaking money on these games, man. It's like, you don't, if anything, you know, has been proven out of, you know, especially out of indie games recently, is that you really do not need a bunch of money to build a game. Like, yes, you want to support your employees, but it's like, they put all their money, it's just like in the wrong places. Because when I heard about Concord, it was always like the presentations during the Video Game Awards or Summer Games Fest or whatever. I just remember Jeff Knightley.
PlayStation Showcase.
Yeah, talking about it. And I just remember the classic red flag of they're just showing a bunch of cinematics, which the cinematics look amazing, by the way. They genuinely look like, it looks like a show.
It is a really good quality game. Like, they definitely went hard on the presentation.
But it's just unfortunate because they spent all that money doing all of those things when really maybe they should have just, like, advertised the gameplay more and focused less on, like, these crazy visuals and cinematics. Like, I know some people who care, like, very deeply about that aspect of games. That's fine. But I think maybe gameplay and something sticking out is more important. And unfortunately, even with good gameplay, like, I know the folks who have played it have said it's good gameplay. So it's like, not even that the gameplay itself is the issue. It's like, that's not how they're advertising it. They're advertising it with like these kind of bland, uninteresting characters that we don't know about, with a story that is, it's like, wait, what is it? There's a story, huh? Like, it's just kind of confusing. Yeah. You don't really have any idea as what's going on. Like, those were my feelings that were invoked when watching the showcase trailer for Concord. I was just like, what the heck is this? And then by the end, it was like, oh, it's like one of these types of shooters. And I was like, oh, of course it is. Because, like, what else would it be? I don't know. But, like, it doesn't really give you any good information. So I feel like that was part of their issue. And again, I think they just spent way too much money on this. And but overall, I think it's just I just hate this trend that's happening both with gaming and with like shows where it's like, oh, it's not doing well. We just need to take it down entirely. It's like, well, what's the harm in leaving it up? Like, stop taking down content, especially when people buy it. Like, you know, with streaming services, you kind of unfortunately have to have this realization that whoever the streaming service is going to take down whatever show you're watching. Like, you don't own that show. Mm-hmm. Concord, technically speaking, you're supposed to be able to own that game. Like, if you bought it, you should be able to own the game. Like, people bought physical copies of this game. So, it's such a bad trend, I think, when they're like, oh, well, it's not doing very successfully, or it's getting all this flack on Twitter. Like, why do people care so much about Twitter?
This is one of those games that kind of had the, so I heard it in a really good way, in a really good description, I think, is, people do a lot of grave dancing on a lot of games and content before they even come out, and so this was one of them.
Totally,
people were just like asking for this to fail in the first place too. So I'm just
I just don't like this.
That needs to stop too.
I don't like this. Yeah, fan idea, and it's similar to when that Star Acolyte when Acolyte got canceled. It's like, why are people celebrating these things being canceled? I don't get that. Like, just don't watch it or don't play the game. Like, there are people out there statistically who still enjoy it. And if the devs or the creators want to keep putting it out and, you know, it's not actually harming anyone, which neither of these things were, by the way, then yeah, why don't you just let them keep creating and keep doing that?
The numbers.
I guess, yeah, they're so obsessed with the numbers and fans are, they're, yeah. Oh no, you people keep making YouTube videos attacking my game and making it look bad. I'm going to just take it down entirely. I'm just like, I don't know, like the free to, you could just turn a free to play. I think there's just options and like, who knows, maybe they'll put it back up and they will do that. Maybe they have ideas. I feel like this is a really, really big project that took 8 years that I don't think they're just going to throw away entirely. I think hopefully they're going to, you know, they take it down and decide to rework it somehow and figure out what's going on. But I just think it's, that's just like heartbreaking. I don't like that people celebrate these things getting canceled because that's, again, one person's work, you know, over 8 years.
Yeah.
And the same with Alkalite, right? It's like, yeah, sure, you don't like it, but there's people who've been working on this for a long time and there's actually people who care about it and enjoy it. And you could just like move on and do something else. You don't have to like be so happy it got canceled. Like, it's just a weird...
Those people lost their jobs.
Exactly. It's a weird vibe for me. It's a weird thing where people are like, why are there so many layoffs happening? It's like, well, you're not the problem, but you don't help the problem either. You're not, like, helping the situation by calling for these things to get totally canceled, which causes layoffs of studios. You're not the reason doing it. That's executives. That's other reasons. That's people spending too much money, et cetera. It's a whole thing. But you're not helping the situation. Like, anyway. That's my rant. It's a lot. I remember following all that. And I was, like, reading up on Concord and watching stuff before it got, you know, quit. And then I saw that and I was like, are you kidding me? What?
Yeah.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah. It's wild. So that's gaming news.
Cool. We'll get into the movies then. LJ, I think you're the only one that watched a movie this week.
What'd you watch?
Yeah. Well, I in the past 2 weeks I definitely watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh. Perfect segue.
Yeah.
Just because one of my TTRPG characters I'm kind of like loosely inspiring off Yondu anyway.
Oh, sick.
So I was like, you know what? I need to watch this, and I want to go back to the first one. And the first one was really nice. It just brought me back to not necessarily classic Marvel, because it's definitely like, you know, it's already later in the phases, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, sure, they were leading up to the whole Infinity Stone thing, but it just feels like the stakes and just like the... not lower, I guess, but it's just it's one of those movies where they were just getting to that point where they were starting to like make sure everything was connected, and like the Guardians, and just seeing the Guardians like meet for the first time was kind of refreshing. Because they're like these such prolific like Marvel characters now, like thanks to the MCU, because nobody knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were before MCU, you know. So I'm just like, this is kind of cool. Like, this was really a time. Like, and that's what brought me back to, like, enjoying movies like Shang-Chi and stuff like
that. Yeah.
I've never heard of this character. I'm excited.
Totally.
This is neat.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we don't really have... I mean, I know that Marvel's been in a rough state for, like, the last phase or so. But it's just... it brought me back to a time when I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, this is definitely a quality here. And, yeah. So it was nice to go back to.
Yeah, for sure.
I need to watch volume 2 and 3 like pretty soon.
I'll be watching Beetlejuice this week, so we can talk about that.
Yeah,
next week.
Nice.
Excited.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll get into the movie news then. Go ahead, Shelley.
So we have two trailers. One of them we have been waiting for. Well, maybe both of them we've been waiting a while for, but I was really only excited about one. Sonic 3, baby. Yeah. They finally got it out. Keanu Reeves, Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yep.
I'm very excited. It doesn't really make that much sense for me to be excited. I enjoyed the first two ones, and I really love Shadow. So, yes, I am excited. And I am going to go there, and I'm going to wear my Shadow bucket hat, and I'm going to have a good time.
I went through so many emotions watching that trailer.
Seriously, I'm... the music and
so
the... And it's one of those trailers where it kind of low-key tells you what's going to happen in the movie, but I feel like it just makes you want to watch the movie. It doesn't make you... like, there's so many trailers where it just shows you the whole movie in the trailer. This one wasn't really that. It was like, oh, we got to see Sonic and the actual gang is, like, together. It's, like, him and Knuckles. Him and Tails and Knuckles, which I'm like, oh, finally, they're, like, established friends. This is cool, and they're all going to go against Shadow, but then they may need to talk to, you know, Eggman and... Oh, I'm excited. Whole
little scene there.
Yeah.
Knuckles being like...
Dude, the teleporting? That's how he fights, dude. That's how he does... It's... Oh.
And then he's like, this one's stronger than the last hedgehog I fought. And he's like, yeah. I'm right here.
Dude,
here.
I also love the... You're all a colorful
bunch.
Like, it's silly. It has fun references, but it's still, like, kind of unique on its own. And I like the idea that it's like... Well, Shadow really is just like Sonic, but, you know... Like, which he always has just been, like, Sonic but evil or Sonic but antagonistic and kind of, like, edgy and stuff. Like, that's always been a shtick. But I like that angle they're going for where it's, like, Sonic was raised in, like, a healthy, good environment with people who love him. And Shadow really just is the opposite. And, like, that's how people are.
Sonic was,
you know?
Sonic was raised in the suburbs and Shadow came up from the hood.
You know, and that's... Yeah. I just... That sort of thing happens in real life. And I just think a lot of kids are going to see this movie. And my hope is that they're able to redeem Shadow by saying, like, we love you too. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But
he's 11.
But I just think, yeah. I just,
He's in a test tube. And then he'll come out and they'll be like, oh, you should be our friend. You have powers.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just hyped because I love Shadow.
Yeah.
And, may get that.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that wanted Keanu Reeves as Shadow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. It's so like, perfect.
It's the obvious choice anyway. No, it's but I'm great. Like, I'm so happy that. That's
I'm also really excited for all the Shadow memes going to come out of this. For those who don't know, and yes. I don't know why you would know.
All the videos and stuff already have been.
Yeah, like, but really I just like... have a whole collection of. I just have a whole album on my phone specifically of Shadow memes. Oh, yeah. It's like my favorite meme format. It's just Shadow the Hedgehog. So I'm going to get a lot from this, and I'm really excited about that.
I think to go back to the point, too, about how, like, this trailer definitely did show a lot, I think they showed all that because that's the stuff that I think we really wanted to see.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think so it was a really well-made trailer.
I would have been so mad if we didn't hear Shadow speak the entire time.
But correct. I mean, all the plot lines that we know from, like, Sonic Adventure 2 are totally in there as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, yes, like, okay, that's what we want.
I hope we get a cover of City Escape. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Oh, dude, I hope the movie opens up literally with Sonic being chased or
kind
of city
or
montage like that. Dude. But you have to.
And it's going to be in Seattle because that's where they closed the closest city to them. And I'm like, oh, it's made for me. It's made for me. So I'm really excited about that. Weirder trailer. Also a video game trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone was really expecting this. The Minecraft trailer came out of the Minecraft movie. And it's a trailer for the movie, and they're going with the isekai angle. They're going with the, in the wild case you haven't seen this, listener, in the wild case that you haven't seen the Minecraft trailer, I will give it to you. There's people, some of them are kids, one of them is Jason Momoa, and they're dropped in the world of Minecraft, and they're like, wait, what is this place? And you get to see how, like, ugly the sheep are, which, like, yeah, for sure. If you're gonna look at Minecraft from an uncanny angle, it's gonna look freaking weird. So that is very accurate.
I'm not necessarily mad at that.
I'm not mad at that either. I'm like, that no, like, you're right. That pig is ugly. That sheep is ugly, like all this stuff. So
the game itself was kinda ugly, you know?
Like, yeah, totally. It's only great with shaders since I've been playing that. I did forget to mention I've actually been playing a lot of Minecraft recently. I've been playing a lot of Minecraft, but with shaders, oh my gosh, guys, that's gorgeous. But yeah, and then Jack Black shows up and he's Steve and it's just like
the master builder.
It feels the same as Mario Bros. And I'm predicting it now that he is going to sing a song or do a thing that he just really wants to do. And it's not necessarily going to fit the vibe of Minecraft, but it's going to be so iconic. Yeah. That's going to be the main thing people remember it besides the trailer itself.
They're it's like, let him cook.
I'm telling you, it's the same as the Super Mario Bros. Movie because the Mario Bros. Movie, the things people remember that from that are one first, not necessarily the trailer, but the announcement. The announcement for who the actors were going to be, the voice actors.
Yeah.
Like, that's honestly the most iconic part of the movie. Aside from Jack Black, Bowser singing Peaches, because I still hear people reference that song, and no one else references any other part of the movie. Like, I don't even remember what else happens in the movie, really, except for Bowser singing that, which feels somewhat out of character. Maybe not entirely out of character, but, like, that definitely was Jack Black really being random. Like, Yeah, that's what I mean. It was really random, and like Jack Black was just like, I'm just going to do this bit, and it's going to be really funny. And then they're like, well, we trust you, man. And good thing they trusted him, because it, again, people remember it for that. I just feel like that's going to happen with the Minecraft movie, whether or not he sings or like does a bit. Like, I just think there's going to be something he does that's going to be really out of pocket, but it's going to hit really hard. It's going to be so funny, and everyone's going to get obsessed with it. It's going to go viral, and it's going to be like the main saving grace of the movie. And the rest is going to be mid. I don't even think it's going to be bad. People are like hating this trailer. I don't know if it's bad. I just think it's so mid that I don't care. And that's fine. Because like, you know, oh, it's for kids. It's not for me. And that's, you know, that's fine. But like, I just won't watch it. Like, I don't care. I don't know.
I was kind of laughing when we started talking about this movie, because I was trying to tell my nephew today. I was like, yeah, hey, did you know there's going to be a Minecraft movie? And then he goes, wait, really? And this kid's like 7. Even he thought I was crazy.
Yeah,
and I told him, yeah, there's going to be a Minecraft movie. And I'm just like, bro.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, that's like, it's that random for even a kid to go, huh?
And it is.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it is foolproof in the sense that parents are going to take their kids no matter what. And they're going to make a crap ton of money no matter what they do. No matter if it's a good or bad movie.
Oh,
it's free money. But
yep.
I just don't think I'm going to watch it. And I'm not, like, mad that it exists. You know, it's not, like, majorly disappointing to me personally. Like, sort of like, I think it is disappointing that Borderlands was not good, even though I don't really care about Borderlands that much. I think as a concept, it's...
I wanted that movie to be good.
Yeah, I think there are more people who cared wanting that. And there's a ton of people who care about Minecraft being good, but like...
I didn't know Borderlands was going to be that bad.
Yes.
I mean, it was going to be bad, but damn.
Yeah, I think it's just... I don't know. I'm really jiving with video game movies like Sonic that are... Well, what's the difference? What is the difference?
Sonic,
I don't know.
Sonic is so corny that it's like really...
It's self-aware in a different way.
Yes.
Minecraft is also self-aware in a... It's like Sonic is self-aware in a respectful way. I don't know if that's really the right term, whereas Minecraft seems self-aware in a disrespectful way. I don't know how else to think. I feel like it takes some more introspection.
Sonic's also very demographic aware.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it's very catering to its viewers.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
Minecraft looks like it's trying to be self-aware in like a cringy kind of way, almost.
Yeah,
so much so that I still feel like the Sonic being remade on that first trailer had to have been a hoax, because like
that was crazy.
Yeah.
And everyone freaked out and they changed it. Yeah,
I'm glad they
like
did, but and it's funny because people are saying that with this Minecraft trailer, they're like, "Well, they better hear our response and be so mad that they change things." But the difference is that, again, one is going to be free money no matter what. The Sonic movie trailer. Yeah, the Sonic trailer. The only issue people had was with Sonic's design specifically.
Yeah.
That's one CGI guy in a movie full of other live action guys. And like, obviously it took a crap ton of work to change it, but it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft, that's not going to be possible. You're talking about the concept of the movie. You're talking about the... I don't know what people are saying. Like, I don't know if there's people serious about it.
I think it was a joke.
Yeah.
I think that trailer was made on purpose to get that response.
It was.
But anyway.
It had to have been.
Feel like I'm as excited about this Minecraft movie as I was for an Angry Birds movie. I have same... feels. That's
totally.
Not exciting at all.
I mean,
I'm with
we had
you.
That discussion recently.
I'm with you. I think it's like,
yeah,
it can exist for the kiddos. It's one of those things where I'm like, that's fine. I usually am very vocal about like, we just still need kid movies to be good. And I still believe that. However, this does feel like something that I'm just like, I really have no stakes in this fight. I really don't care. Like,
yeah,
I really don't care. It's just weird.
Like, who is this for?
Yeah. So,
for sure.
It's fine. Yeah, so very different trailers, reactions here.
Yeah.
I am going to throw in one more news story that I hadn't seen that it was confirmed yet. I just found that it was confirmed. And that is that Spider-Man 4 has found its director. It's Shang-Chi's director, Destin Daniel Cretton.
Yo.
That's cool.
Okay.
I thought you were going to mention the James Earl Jones thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's
you. Also, James Earl Jones. Yeah, rest in peace.
That's sad. Yeah.
I try not to bring those up.
Just because everybody sees them? Yeah.
Well, that and, like, because I miss some of them sometimes. And so then I feel like, I didn't get this one, but I got this one. And it's like, is that one? more important. That's I think we talked about Kevin Conroy when Kevin Conroy passed away, but I always worry about that of like, I mean, James Earl Jones is a big one.
You're biased.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make, if I'm going to hit him, then I want to hit them all.
Kind of yeah, that's true. That's but a good point.
R.I.P.
Yeah. That's...
But no, the Spider-Man thing, though, that's super cool.
Cool. They say they're turning it into like a multiversal movie. I'd rather like a grounded movie, but...
Leave it alone.
I thought... I thought the whole...
We got the multiversal movie.
I thought the whole point and setup of the third one was that it was going to... They kind of did almost a reverse effect of, yeah, going back to a friendly Spider-Man.
They were
going to
go back to street.
Yeah, they are changing their minds.
I hate that. That was the one good thing I liked from that movie. Good thing about it. The one good thing.
Daredevil. Daredevil and Spider-Man would be so cool.
Maybe I just won't watch it. Maybe I'll just rewatch Andrew Garfield. Because that's what I really like and want. I mean, all respect and love to Tobey Maguire. Those are probably the better movies. I just, I have a little special place in my heart for the Andrew Garfield ones. That's
all. Yeah, for sure.
But I did not really love that movie. Why would they? We don't need more multiverse stuff.
No, be the friendly Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Deadpool made enough jokes about how it's the end of the multiverse and like, please.
Yeah. Like, actually respect.
He's like, we need to move on.
Deadpool gave us enough. Like, I think we're good now.
And joked about, like, they even said, yeah, like, oh, we really need to get over this.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
The self-awareness of a wooden plank. I swear. Yep. Yeah, we can move on.
We'll get into TV. I've watched a couple of things. Rings of Power. I was right. Season 2, much better than season 1. I know a lot of people... It's funny because everyone that I've talked to about how much I like season 2, or people that like season 1 relatively, and so I'm getting a lot of flack for like, how could you not like season 1? It was full of... it just had a lot of lore to cover, and I'm like, it's fine. I just don't care about the lore that much. Like, it was fan service to those who like really know Lord of the Rings.
And I was going to say, yeah, it's the book fans that really, I think, are...
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Issues. So I need like a good show. I don't need a bunch of like references that I don't get.
Yeah.
Season 2 is like fixed a lot. I think tonally it's really found its tone. It's written better, in my opinion. And it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
First season was such a slow burn too. I think that's why I didn't keep up with it.
Yeah, it was slow. It was a lot of, I don't know, fan service is the best way I can put it. A lot of explaining things that I just didn't really care much about. Like, never mind. That'll be spoilers.
Hold your breath.
The show is good. I feel like every like month or so I'm like, actually, and then I'm like, oh wait, no, I can't say that. That would spoil something. But no, if you watch season 1, I think season 2 is definitely worth diving back into. I know a few people were like me with season 1 were like, alright, well I watched it. I don't know if I'm gonna watch more. I definitely think if you watch the first season 2 is worth checking out. Plus it's beautiful. Cinematically, gorgeous show. It's doing some amazing things with the cinematography. The other thing that I watched, it might become one of my top animes. I have like a top 10 list, and it may make it. And that is, it's so stupid.
I can say the same thing for the show I watched, but I want to hear what you have to say.
It's so stupid. Same, it's actually. Suicide Squad Isekai.
Oh my goodness.
Which is about the Suicide Squad. There is a portal that Amanda Waller and Argus, is it Argus? Whatever they are, have opened up to like to a fantasy world. And the reason they opened it up is because they want resources. They're like, water is important. We need to go get water. And so they like strap bombs to the back of the Suicide Squad and the back of their necks and throw them through this portal to like set up gates, basically. Around the world so they can get to like the resources easier. And it's it's such a dumb show. I don't know if I spoiled something or anything. Maybe a mild spoiler here. They're one of the characters, one of the Suicide Squad members. So skip ahead a little bit, like maybe 30 seconds, is Clayface. And because they do kind of like do a long reveal for him. But like, he could get the bomb out of his neck. Like, he's Clayface, but they don't talk about that at all. They don't even like question that would be a possibility. Like, the show is stupid. There's a bar brawl that like turns into a dance montage. It's just super over the top ridiculous. And it's exactly what I needed it to be. It's so good. The Suicide Squad are super cool. It really feels like you dropped a bunch of supervillains or superheroes into just like Sword Art Online. If you can imagine that. Yeah, and that's not that's a perfect
crazy.
Yeah. It's not a perfect analogy or like similarity, but like they're on horses and they do magic and they're like, you know, dragons flying around and stuff.
Bruh.
And then that's you funny. Just have Deadshot with a gun just going so at funny. It. And it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
That's great.
Highly recommend. I only watched 2 episodes. I can't wait to watch more, but we're watching it with a friend, so it'll be a slow burn for me. it's so great, though. Killer Shark. King Shark, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Is King Shark in this? Also, I'll say this to you. I don't know what it is about Suicide Squad movies, but I really love hate. Like, it's just another stupid thing that all of the movies have done so far, even the animated, is they'll talk about the mission, and then they'll, like, they always do this. They'll talk about the mission and what it is, and they're like, oh, so we're some kind of, like, Suicide Squad then.
Oh,
they
had to say. My gosh.
Every time, I was like, okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the show is under the, like, it's kind of a reboot itself. It's a self-contained story, and it's under the assumption that you've just never watched a Suicide Squad thing ever. Which, why would you watch this anime if you've never seen a Suicide Squad thing? I don't...
I don't know.
Like, they explain the bombs and everything, and it's just so funny. So you're saying we're some kind of Suicide Squad.
Bruh,
yes. Yes, we are.
Unbelievable.
That's the name of the show.
I'm pretty sure the game says something like that, too.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
It's the law. Maybe it's like they're required.
Yeah,
it could be
sure.
Like a yeah. I have a bad feeling about this.
Star yeah, Wars. Yeah.
Maybe it's the running joke at this point. But,
so funny.
No, if you like isekais, like anime, this is one to check out because it's great. LJ, what show are you watching?
I too have been watching a lot of anime. The biggest one I watched Terminator Zero that came out on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's one of those things that's like, really? A Terminator anime? All right. Like, whatever. But then I heard it was actually really good, and I was like, ooh, I have to see if this is true. I mean, I was going to check it out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it is probably the best Terminator thing that has come out since Terminator 2. So you could literally like probably just like you probably don't even need to watch a lot of other Terminator stuff to like even like as long as you watch Terminator 2, Terminator 2 does all the lore explaining for you basically. And the anime just takes all that and like does its own thing with it kind of, and I really love that. Just because like it even kind of pokes fun at, you know, the concept of like, oh, like Skynet just keeps sending machines and the humans just keep sending humans thinking they're going to stop it. But in reality, it's just not working because, you know, they have their own way of explaining like how like time travel works. And they kind of poke fun at like the way everybody thinks like time travel works. And they're like, well, no, it doesn't really work that way because you're never going to come back to your future. And I guess that's like, that's not really a spoiler. It's just like really touching on the like idea of time travel. But it really gets into the weeds on like what that is all about and how like in the movies and in Terminator, like Skynet and humans are always fighting this battle that they're never really going to win. But it gets wild. The creators of Ghost in the Shell are attached to it. So I'm like, oh, that's why this also really reminds me of Ghost in the Shell, like look wise and everything. Because it's made from the same people. So I recommend it. I really do. It is super good. If you do have Netflix and you are somewhat familiar with Terminator lore, like I think it's really neat. It definitely goes back to like the first and second one of like, you know, the big thing is, you know, the Terminator chasing, you know, the Connors, whatever. And so they do that really well with the, you know, with everything that happens in this one. And it's definitely set in Japan, and it's got its own setting and its own kind of attachment to like the timeline and everything. It's super good. I enjoyed it so much. It flips everything. Flips Terminator lore on its head completely, and I think it's awesome. It is, again, it's super good. I really don't know what else to say, because it's just one of those things like you have to watch.
Okay.
It gets wild.
Yeah. Cool.
So I do recommend it. And then I have been getting back into Attack on Titan, which has been kind of a slow burn a little bit. Getting back into, like, I've definitely picked up from where I left off last, but yeah, I'm slowly getting through that. So
cool.
Yeah, anime.
Sweet.
Anime.
We'll get into... Wait, nope. We'll get into what Shelly's been watching.
Anime. Well, yeah. First, My Adventures with Superman. Finished that last season. Or, I guess, second season. Still very good. I really like it. I think it's good. I don't know if it even needs to keep going. I would like it to keep going. But I think it ended in the spot where I'm like, oh, I guess it doesn't need to. But I thought it was good. I don't really have anything bad to say about it.
Cool.
Watch it. If you like the first season, you'll like the second season. Secondly,
okay.
More importantly, in my opinion, Sound Euphonium. We finally finished season 3. Oh my goodness. I don't really get emotional watching all things, and my husband really doesn't get emotional watching a lot of things. But I got pretty emotional at the end of Sound Euphonium season 3. I think the original sort of draw to watch this show was that, you know, takes place in a high school band. Just this girl who plays euphonium, and she's playing in a high school band. Of course, my husband who plays euphonium is like, oh my gosh, euphonium representation. There's no way. And there's an anime about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty niche.
It is pretty niche. But anyone who's sort of been in a band, like a symphonic band, I just highly recommend in general. But I would even maybe recommend it to those who haven't, and maybe you had friends who were in band, or maybe you like are just like that kind of music. I highly recommend it for those reasons as well. It really nails a lot of things well. Not everything. Like, there's some... I almost wish there was more of the music, which seems ironic. Like, you'd think there'd be a ton of music, but it really is more of a slice of life. But it's also not entirely slice of life in the sense of, like, a lot of slice of lives that I've seen don't really have like tons and tons of character development. Like, there's some, but maybe not a ton. I just, the character development, it's like I came for the band stuff, I stayed for the character arcs and the storytelling, because that actually is fire. It was actually so good kind of seeing Kumiko from season 1. She's like a freshman, she's first year going to this high school, and she just kind of enjoys euphonium. She's pretty freaking good at euphonium, but, you know, learning from the president of the club and learning about her and getting a lot of really, you know, awesome sort of like kind of mentorship from her. And then, you know, seeing Reyna for the first time, and or not necessarily for the first time, but like Reyna's impact on her, Reyna caring so much about music and so caring so much about like being good at music and performing well and like wanting to do well at nationals, and that kind of rubbing off on Kumiko, who previously didn't really like care all that much about these things. She just didn't really care about anything. And then you kind of see how that shapes her a lot. Like, her relationship with Reyna shapes her a lot in the first 2 seasons. And then going to season 3, like, you get a new character who also plays euphonium and is low-key better than Kumiko. And she kind of has to deal with that. And she's realizing how similar they are as people, kind of grappling with like this, her relationship she has with Reyna. It's so good. Like, and it has all this cool music that, again, I kind of just wish we got to hear more of the music. Like, we only ever get to hear the final performances a lot of time. And maybe that's a choice, a creative choice, to make it so you're not like tired of the music by the time you hear it, like in the finale. I respect that. But I kind of wish we'd even get a little bit more of the nitty gritty practice scenes where we're like, hey, we need to go over these sections. Hey, we need to do these things. You don't get a ton of that, but whatever. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, by the end of the season, everyone's like, we practiced so hard for this, so we're going to do so well. And as a viewer, you're like, I didn't get to see any of that practice. What do you mean? But it's fine. It really is focused on the characters more than anything. And I just think, well, and part of it is, like, I got emotional because my husband got emotional because he was basically just realizing that Kumiko is him. Like, she follows the same steps he went through when he was playing in, especially like high school band, especially playing Euphonium. And anyone who's actually finished watching season three, you know, learning what she does kind of like after graduation and kind of after sort of in the epilogue, my husband also just like followed that track. So it's just very cool to see that fully represented. So just this, like, it's like an image when you see someone who's fully so similar to yourself and something like anime, and follows like the same steps, you know, has the same ideas you have, same steps you have, like, that's so validating. It's so cool. So it was half that, it's half the music and half just, I miss band so much and it makes me really want to practice my instrument and like pick it back up and practice. It makes me like want to care about something half as much as these characters care about music. Because holy cow, they care about music so much. And I'm like, I don't care about anything as much as this. I mean, I care about Jesus. That's probably it. It's like anything else, I just like don't care. And I'm just like, dang, man, like I want to like be passionate about something. So it's very inspiring in that way. I don't know how to describe it, man. You kind of just have to watch it. Like, I really, it is such a weird show. But especially now that there's season three, like season one and two were like fine. Season three elevates it to probably like in my top 10 anime. It is like very good. I think it is a perfect ending. And yeah, I just loved it. I loved all of it. So it's on my cry list. Unbelievable. No. It's not fair. And no one else is going to watch it. Who else cares about Euphoniums? Care about Euphonium. And don't always take every musical advice that they give you in the show. There's like one scene where they're like tubas or like, no, you can't look at the tuning, like, you know, they're trying to tune, right? And it's like the tuba, the new tuba player is trying to tune. And the older tuba player is like, no, you have to like memorize what's like to be in tune and always like, and then adjust your instrument to be in tune. Anyone who's played an instrument knows that's not how it freaking works. You use your embouchure, okay? And parts of your range are going to be flat or sharp naturally, and the other half is going to be sharp or flat naturally unless you have, like, the highest quality instrument freaking ever. I know for me, for saxophone, I would have to drop my jaw whenever I go with my highs because they would go sharp, and so I'd have to drop it to be more flat. And that's, firstly, always go with embouchure. Secondly, even if you're a tuba, you need to tune to the rest of the band. Because if you're perfectly in tune and the rest of the band is sharp or flat, guess what? You're the one who's out of tune. You need to go sharp or flat to match with the rest of the band. It's all about listening. It's all about embouchure. You can tune your instrument only so much. That's all. That was my one stipulation where I'm like, this is incorrect. That's but like everything else, they like did their homework. Also, I'm pretty sure Yamaha freaking sponsored the show because Yamaha instruments show up everywhere. That's pretty funny. That's that. That's that. Let's talk about shows. Other shows. Trailers.
Real quick. I told the story before on the podcast, I'm sure. But I always... Band was brought up. Me and my wife met each other pretending to play the flutes for marching band. Because you lose more points if you are missing a pixel in your formation, basically.
Uh-huh.
Than or if your pixel is not playing an instrument. And so I was promised a 12-pack of Coke.
Wow.
From... my friend Max, mm-hmm. He never gave me one.
No.
but I met my wife, so I guess it's all right.
That's really sweet. Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
You should watch the
show. Really cool. I told this story to someone at my church a couple years ago. And
you have told it in the past. It's just been
do
a
it,
while.
Do it.
Yeah. A week later, this man comes up with a 12-pack of Coke. And he was like, here's that Coke that guy owes you. And it was so sweet. And I was like, well, now you get to be part of my stories. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anytime I get a chance to do that, I'm like, oh, that's... But whatever band's brought up, that's... I guess it's got a special place in my heart.
You should that's watch awesome. This show. Please. Watch the show. I know it's mostly about
I
brass
have so
instruments,
many shows, but...
it's fine.
I couldn't even make the flute make noise, but I can make bottles, like Coke bottles, make noise. I don't know.
Yeah, same thing, same muscles. So
yeah, I think we have a flute in the house somewhere. Yeah, we have a lot of instruments that I can't play in the house. There's a guitar somewhere. Anyways, we'll get into the trailers that are happening for TV. We'll go. What order did you go in? Yeah, you went in the good trailer first and the bad trailer. So the first trailer we'll talk about is Arcane. Looks absolutely amazing.
Looks amazing.
Arcane, baby. Yep. Not much to say in a good way.
Yeah. Like the last season, I did not realize that. Makes sense, but I'm surprised. I remember it was the Cartoon Network director. I think it was Cartoon Network's something. Ed said, like, the show was unsustainable just because they spent years working on season one. And so fair. To have a bunch of seasons, they were like, well, you can't, like, put that much time into each season and have, like, three.
They're probably already working on the next one by the time, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what happened here because season two looks great so far, is that they were probably in process of working on this already. And so that's cool that, like, we're going to get that quality and it's not going to go downhill because they're trying to, you know, push something out quickly. Arcane, if you've not seen season one, is revolutionary so for television.
Good. Very good.
Yeah.
Even if you hate if you hate Legends, we all do. It's fine. The show's good.
Oh yeah, it's a League of Legends show. I didn't have any idea what was like. That did not impact my enjoyment of the show whatsoever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or lack there. Yeah, I loved it, and I don't know anything about League of Legends. The other trailer that came out is, it's an MCU show. So I thought, you know, I would know, I would be on the ball. But Agatha All Along has a new trailer. Apparently there's another one that came out a while back. I don't remember either of them.
I did watch them.
No, there you go. From WandaVision. Yeah. And it is very, like, it's coming out September 18th. So for Halloween season. Makes sense. But I don't know. I'm like... this wasn't a character that I super cared about, and it was a villain, so now it's like...
well, now she's like kind of a more anti-hero, maybe, protagonist.
I guess.
And I'm like, I liked her when she was evil. Yeah. I don't know. People were really attached to her for some reason, and I never was, personally, so...
yeah, I don't care about this show. Marvel...
nobody does.
Marvel is slowly losing me. I'm gonna watch it. Because I watched everything else, and it's like it's such a weird feeling to watch something just because.
See, yeah,
I've so heavily invested in the rest of it.
If somebody tells me, "Hey, there's this thing that happens in there," I'm like, "Okay, I will go watch it." but
so yeah, you're other than that, you've fallen off. I haven't fallen off yet.
Well, I mean this show in particular is how I'm feeling.
Man, I'm hanging off the edge of this cart. You know, I'm not on the edge of this bandwagon.
I mean, I definitely didn't watch Marvels until later, and I was actually surprised that I was not spoiled by anything in Marvels. So it's just like, okay, like, so if somebody does, if I find out later there's something I really need to see in there, I'll go watch it. But
there probably
I'm
isn't.
Good right now.
I don't know. Yeah, at the very least, it's a Halloween thing that like Disney's doing, and that'll probably be fun in its own right. I don't watch a lot of Halloween stuff during Halloween.
Did that color version of Werewolf by Night come out yet?
I think so. I think that came out last year.
Oh, it might have. Yeah, because they did like a full color version of that.
Yeah, and that's weird.
See, I'd rather just go watch that.
Yeah, that was good.
Go watch that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Marvel will figure its stuff out and it'll start, like, getting back up. I think this would have been, like, a really good time to release, like, a Midnight Suns movie. So they're just kind of behind. I feel like they're trying to catch up for some reason. Like, they did a lot of failing and now they're kind of having to... I want them to figure their stuff out.
So many times is so weird, too. Like, there's just a lot up in the air with Marvel right now.
They built a bunch of loose ends that they haven't tied together, and
yep,
it's just in a weird place right now. We'll see.
Yeah,
that is it though for the TV news. That's it for the podcast. Unless you guys are geeking out about anything else this week.
That's it.
Nice. I am 4 minutes and 20 seconds from beating my first fantasy football game.
Nice.
Let's go.
I am very sad I'm not doing one this season just because none of the leagues that I've been in before are doing one. So I'm just
do a Geeks Under Grace one with all the volunteers, and last year was a little bit lackluster, and so this year I was like invited to another one and just kind of fell away.
Yeah.
So maybe next year we'll do one with the whole community in our Discord. If you're not in our Discord yet, you should go join that for a whole bunch of other reasons besides a fantasy football league. But we'll end the podcast there. Shelly, where can they find you at?
I'm on Twitter at TheShellShock24.
And LJ?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter under LJ the Paladin.
Oh, and you can find me on Instagram at Cody Armor. Keep gaming, keep praying, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Geeks Under Grace podcast. We love hearing from you, so feel free to ask us questions or just comment on the show by using the hashtag GUGcast on Twitter or by joining the GUGcast questions channel in the Geeks Under Grace Discord. If you like this episode, consider leaving a review or rating of our show on your favorite podcast app. If you want even more Geeks Under Grace, you can always go to geeksundergrace.com. We love you all so much, so thank you for listening.